Father, we come in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus once again today. We say thank you for the great honor, the great privilege, and what a privilege it is indeed to assemble before you, to come to fellowship with you as well as one with another. We say thank you because your presence is here, your power is here present to meet every need today. We give you all the glory ahead of time, knowing you will do for us exceeding abundantly above all we can imagine. And Father, as we come to share your word again, to receive it, we are acutely aware, we are fully conscious, O Lord, of the limitations of our minds and of ourselves and our ability to both deliver as well as receive this matchless word, this word that is the word of the living God. And so we come to plead, come to beg for mercy. Particularly, I come under authority of my Father's, beseeching for fresh mercy. I strip myself, Lord, of every confidence I might have in my knowledge, my preparation. Lord, all that does not matter now. All that that matters to me now is for you to grant me mercy, to be a faithful steward, to speak forth this word in power, in clarity, in simplicity, yet in the love and the comfort of your Spirit. Causing, Lord, as I speak, Lord, an eternal work to be wrought in the lives and hearts of all that hear it, myself included, whether here, personally, physically at this time, or remotely by electronic means, that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your presence and your power follow the word to cause, Lord God, the word to be imparted unto the lives of men, so they will not be hearers only, but doers of that which they hear, bringing forth the fruits thereof in the name of Jesus. And I should help me to be concise, help me to be precise, not to say anything unnecessary, bringing forth from out of the treasure of this word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. And I speak, your power and your anointing and presence will go forth to fill the air, meet every need, break every yoke, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation of the word, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, and our emotions be controlled and tempered even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially love. As I speak, Lord God, let the power fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, bringing glory to the name of Jesus. A mighty blessing upon unto us, the sons of men, in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy, Lord. Help me to duck under the anointing of my fathers. I humble myself, and I take upon their mantles, Lord God. As I speak and deliver the word, I will do so as they would were they here personally. As they, Lord, drink of this vine they have planted, as they eat of this vineyard they have sown all these years. Let them be abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls. Amen. I thank you, Lord, because you will do more than we can ask or think. You will not lie to David. And now that we alter that which has gone forth out of your mouth concerning us, we honor you, Father. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, Holy Spirit, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Jesus' wonderful name. And the people say, amen. Say amen like you believe it. Now, in our last study, we completed the book of Acts chapter 3. And we finished there verse 26, from about verse 21, 22, thereabouts. And we saw, let's see now, Acts chapter, yes, verse 22 to verse 26. And we saw there the apostle Peter giving back into all the things he had been teaching the people concerning what was going on in Jerusalem. There had been a man healed by the power of God through the word of the apostles at the beautiful gate. And of course, the crowd gathered around to see what's going on. And so Peter, by the power of the Spirit, began to speak powerfully to them concerning what was going on. And he began to give scripture back into all the things they've been teaching concerning the death, the resurrection of the Lord, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the name of the Lord had risen, had caused this man, the name of the risen Lord, had caused this man at the beautiful gate to be healed of an infirmity he'd had all of his life. He refers to the law of Moses, and he did this. Well, two reasons why I did it. Number one, it was what the Lord Jesus taught them during the 40 days of his ministry on earth. And then also, all the people he was talking to were very familiar with the law of Moses. And so, Apostle Peter was now using this, specifically the book of Deuteronomy, and he was quoting concerning the Christ from that book. Amen. And he said that the Lord said through Moses at that time that there was going to be a prophet. Now, this is not just any prophet. It's a particular prophet. Amen. There are many prophets. The prophets are many. But there's only one a prophet. In fact, if you look at that passage in the book of Deuteronomy, you see that that prophet is capitalized with a P. So he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So quoting specifically from Deuteronomy chapter 18, about verse 15, he begins to talk and say that there was a future prophet like unto Moses, who at that time was a leader of Israel, who led Egypt and led Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And that in the future, God will raise up this prophet to do exactly the same thing that Moses did, to lead, to raise up Israel, lead them into the promised land from out of sin. Of course, he didn't say it that way, but we are just, you know, speaking prophetically and paraphrasing what God wanted to do. So we mentioned this prophet was to be a mediator, like Moses, between God and man, lead Israel to the promised land. And the Bible tells us that everyone that did not follow him was to be cut off among the people. In fact, in Acts chapter 3, in verse 23, thereabouts, said, yes, that prophet, the person that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So Peter now declares that all that has been happening in Jerusalem up until that time, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, everything had been foretold by the prophets, beginning with Samuel. Isn't it amazing? We brought out the fact at that time that the prophetic scriptures are so amazing, because what they do is that they tell us well ahead of time what God is planning to do, so that we can all hear, believe, and cooperate and align our wills with what God is doing. The scriptures give us a foreknowledge, an understanding of what he's going to do. The Bible talks about God who declares the end from the beginning. Amen. So we all come to know God's plan and purpose even before time, so we can align with it. That's what the Bible says. Believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Prosper in what? Prosper in what God is about to bring to pass in the earth. Specifically in our age and time, what God is bringing to pass is the glory of the latter house. And if we believe it, we align our wills with it and begin to work assiduously towards it in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we will partake of what God is doing. And so this is it. But like we said that day, obviously Israel did not believe. Because here was what had been prophesied through all the prophets from Samuel all the way down, even as far back as the book of Moses, the Pentateuch. Everything that had been prophesied was now coming to pass, and yet they were on the outside of it. Many of them were. They didn't believe. Can you imagine? You know, those Israelites, they have this epithet that always sticks to them. We were even talking about it yesterday in leading sessions. See, they are just stiff-necked. But you will not be like that in Jesus' name. You will not be stiff-necked in Jesus' name. So, what did they do when God sent them prophets? They will stone them, they will kill them, because they didn't bring a word they liked. Amen? Many of them were stoned and killed. And so when the time came for the fulfillment, many of the people did not believe as they should. And so they did not possess the promised land fully. Amen? They didn't get in there. It's a lesson for us all. Let's keep our hearts in a place of submission to the word of God, and especially to the word that comes through his servants, the apostles and prophets. Amen? Don't stone the prophets. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you will not stone the prophets in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, we didn't mention this last time. I wrote it here. But it's vital for us to understand that the prophetic scriptures, in fact, all scripture is quoted. Amen? All scripture is quoted. And all scripture at one level or the other is prophetic. The Bible tells us about, says that the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the entire Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the entire Bible is prophetic. Amen? And so much of the prophetic scriptures bring to us an understanding of the times and seasons and what Israel ought to do. And it is revealed to the prophets. They are the ones that the God uses by the Spirit to open up the scriptures to us so we can follow after. Amen? And it is our honor, the Bible tells in Proverbs chapter 25, 2, that God, Bible says, the honor of the Lord to conceal a matter. So it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the honor of us to search it out. Amen? Notice it says kings. In other words, you know, to become a king, you must search out your prophetic word in this Bible. By the grace of God, every one of us should be able to say, this is me in the Bible. Only a few people said amen. Well, there's still time. Amen. So, now towards the end, Apostle Peter begins to remind the Jews that they are the children of the prophetic scriptures. And only there we ourselves also. Guess what? You're a Jew too. Amen? Amen. And that means you're heirs of these covenants of Abraham. Because once you're born again in Christ Jesus, you are a child of Abraham. Therefore, you automatically inherit the covenants of promise that God made to Abraham. Amen? The Israelites were the first. I said to the Jew first. Amen. The Israelites were the first to receive the covenant. Amen. Says the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Amen. So it is in us, the children of Abraham, by the grace of God, that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And Paul saw this by revelation. And he identified, said, by in your seed. And he said, the seed was not Isaac, but the seed was the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom every person on earth that gets born again becomes a child or seed of Abraham. And then it is through that seed that has been spawned by the single seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, that now goes to all the earth and is a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Amen. How do we become a blessing? You break the veil of darkness, remove gross darkness, break the yoke of corruption, and bring light and life and understanding to the peoples, demonstrating with power, with signs and wonders, the gospel, the full gospel of the kingdom, breaking, ruling, and discipling the nations before the end can come. And by the grace of God, you and I, in this church, the Zion Church, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, we have this great honor to be the first of the first fruits of this. Amen. And so we're going to fulfill the scriptures. Amen. The scripture that says the last shall be first. We are last to receive the gospel. The Bible says the last shall be first, and many that are first shall be last. Amen. I have a word for you. You are first to receive the gospel concerning the fullness and the perfection of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Believe the prophets so you will prosper. So you who receive that word first will not finish last. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. You will not finish last though, but you must not neglect the word. All right. Now let's go on. We're going to start the book of Acts chapter 4 now. Help us, Lord. We'll see some things here. I don't know how far we'll be able to go, but we trust the Lord. Amen. So Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. I'd like all of us, like Pastor says, to read this word. Amen. Are we ready? If you're ready, give me a wave. All right. Oh, great. Everybody's waving this morning. Great. Wonderful. Now, this is what happens when you begin to preach the word of the Lord. I obviously want to be preachers. Let's read. And as they spake, come on guys, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, next verse, being grieved. Why? Why were they grieved? That they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Well, we'll go on that later. Next verse. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. And then one more verse, let's see what happens. Next verse. Howbeit, many, glory to God, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Give the Lord a clap, somebody. Oh! Talk about efficacious preaching of the word. But here we see this. No, folks, whenever you're doing the will of God, the devil is going to counterattack. Take it from me. Well, if you don't take it from me, it's in the word anyway. But here comes the devil's counterattack. Now, these guys have done a great miracle. By the grace of God, the help of the Holy Spirit, through them, God had done a mighty work. And everybody's excited. Everybody was excited. So they stood here in the midst of the temple and teach and preach. What's wrong with teaching and preaching? Hello, somebody. But you all know the devil's going to serve back. And here's the story. Said, as the disciples were teaching, the enemy sent his cohorts. Now, they didn't know they were satanic cohorts. They were just being moved by their own greed. We'll see that in a minute. He sent them to the cohorts to disrupt the teaching and to arrest them. Now, you want to put this into perspective. Imagine they come to Lagos Cathedral, whatever, the cathedral and the marina. And they stand in the middle of the cathedral and they start to preach to the people. And they're preaching resurrection. They're preaching life. They're preaching all these things that are going to remove stuff from the people who were there before. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what the hierarchy of that church would feel? And all the Baba Ijohs and what have you, they will be there. They're watching this group of men from Niger Delta. They didn't change their clothes though. They didn't put on smart clothes. They just came as they were. Fishermen. And they began to preach and teach Christ. Not only that, they did a miracle. A miracle worked through them. And so these guys saw these things, Bible says, as they spake unto people, they were grieved. Give him an amplifier. The song says an amplifier. He says, give me that. Be vexed and indignant through and through. Because they were teaching the word of God. Why was this so? Very simple. They were teaching and preaching the things which the Lord had taught them for 40 days. Amen. So they were just repeating the truth of the resurrection to people. But the Bible says persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake. Both the word that is in you and the word that goes out through you. Hello, somebody. These people, we see this in the house. I mean, our fathers, by the grace of God, thank God for our fathers. They stood firm. But there was a time when persecution was hot. I lived through in this house, very same house. Because they were preaching the truth. The only person that doesn't like the truth is Satan. Because the truth will set you free. The truth that you know, the Bible says, will set you free. So these people were trying to set people who had been in bondage and that was what they were preaching. They were saying that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has taken away the need for bullocks and goats and pigeons and money changers, incidentally. And this is where I say, look at all these people are preaching. Is that the way I live here? No. We can't allow this. It's not of God. Thank you, Pastor Wally. What is wrong with teaching? And teaching is so important. Because that's what most of the church needs and lacks today. A lack of teaching. If we want to get to perfection in the fullness of life, there must be teaching in the church. Prophetic apostolic teaching in particular. Give me Colossians 1:27 thereabouts. Teaching every man, warning every man. Give it to me. Quick. Colossians 1:27. Back up a bit, one verse. Oh, hallelujah. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next verse now. Whom we what? Preach, warning every man, the preaching warns, teaching every man in all wisdom that we represent every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So the preaching warns, but the teaching is what you need, the wisdom that needs to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what these people were teaching. How to bring them out of bondage, to bring them into Christ Jesus, to let them know that their sins are forgiven, and to embrace the redemption of Christ. But that's what they were teaching. But these guys were very indignant and vexed through and through. Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming the case of the resurrection. Can you imagine? But see, they saw that their livelihood was slipping away. The Sadducees also had a problem. The Sadducees, somebody said the Sadducees were sad because they couldn't see. Because they didn't see not. And that's what Lord Jesus Christ told them. He said, you err greatly because you know not the power of God, nor the scripture. They had no revelation of scripture, so they were fighting the resurrection, the very resurrection that was sent to deliver man. So here we are. The priests and the rulers of the temple, they were indignant. Looking at these fishermen in the temple teaching. What's wrong with these people? So they got the band together. And they arrested and put them in a hold overnight. Now, the lesson here is this. There are also in this day many who will not like the truth of God's word being preached and proclaimed. And you who are going to be the first of the first fruits are those that will preach the gospel, the full gospel of the kingdom. You're going to all, I'm not cursing you. Say amen. And you don't believe, I'm just telling you the truth. This is what happens. This Satan is going to come. He's going to send his, thank you, Pastor Wally. I love Pastor Wally. Pastor Wally, let him shoot his shot, man. Let him come, man. See, that's a man who knows who he is in Christ Jesus. Everybody's looking for an edge. Never fair preach. You are going to preach. And you'll be persecuted. Thank you. I'm so happy to hear people saying amen to persecution. Amen. That's great. That's glad. That means there's a change in paradigms going on. Hallelujah. You will be persecuted so that God can finish Satan. We'll get to that. I mean, we'll get to that. But here it is. The many in this day who don't like the truth will come against the truth. As we teach and demonstrate by power the truth of Christ resurrected, manifesting our mortal bodies, as we preach the truth of the glory and demonstrate that glory, the perfection and fullness of Christ, many in the old established order. Hello, somebody. The old liturgical order, forgive me. they will try and snuff it out. They don't try and pay to it. They're going to come against it. Initially, it will be something of the joy. They'll pretend. But see, when they see that their merchandise is going down, when they begin to understand that what these people are preaching can cause them to lose their stake, like Caiaphas of old, it will impact their market severely. Then they will bring out all their guns. This is what they're doing now. Give me 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 3. Please quickly help the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1. It's a prophetic warning. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3. Thank you. But there were false prophets. Let's read together. But there were false prophets also were among the people. Even now, this is a prophetic scripture. I said all scripture is prophetic. He was talking about Peter's time, but it's also reaching forward all these years to us now. It says, but there were false prophets also. Where? Among the people. They were brethren. They were Israelites. But not all Israel is Israel. As there shall be, it's not shall be now. It is there are false teachers among you who privately, you're not reading with me, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and being upon themselves swift destruction. They're not denying him in mouth. Bible speaks in, I think it's in Titus chapter 3, says that they're in works, they deny him. Being reprobate in every good work. Amen. They're not denying. Bible says these people worship him with their mouth, but their heart is far from. They speak all the lingo, but their hearts are full of terrible things. Amen. Next verse. Prophecy to us. And many. Hello. Bible says the love of majority. Hello. Many shall. Or in our own particular time, are following. Hello, someone. This is not your portion. It's a warning. It's a prophetic warning. Shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Is that not happening today? All these actors that say that they are prophets and apostles, that use the word of the Lord and lie using the word. Can you imagine using the word of truth to tell lies? It says, because of these ones, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That is happening as we speak. But we're going to change that by the grace and mercy of God. When the truth comes out, all these guys, that's why they're going to come and attack us. Hello, somebody. Next word, let me finish off. And through what? Covetousness. That says, Jesus said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things that he had. Through covetousness, are they with feigned words? That's a lying word. Bible talks about every sleight of hand and, you know, with cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They do what? Make merchandise of you. This is happening already. To many people who say that their leaders, their flocks are just places to extort money from. The man of God is traveling next week. As the Lord leads you, so you better so. I don't want to go into stories. We really don't have time for that today. But the essence is this. They see the people that God has initially gave them. Some of them God didn't even give them. Just gathered them together. But some actually began legit. They were actually prophets. But because of covetousness, they began to use the people to merchant as merchandise. It says their judgment now of a long time lingering on and their damnation slumbereth not. God is going to take revenge. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now, this is a prophetic word to all of us. Even as we enter this season of grace for mighty works, the devil will come, but he will not prevail. So, here we go. Now, let's go back. So, the devil sent his cause against the apostles and put Peter and John in jail overnight. Now, why is there jail here? You don't want to think of our, thank God for our own jails here. In those days, jail was a terrible thing. It was a dungeon. There was no light, no bed. And listen, how good did they have bed? It may not be very much. It may be full of, you know, of all kinds of insects. But at least there's a bed. This one was nothing. If you read the account of the one of Paul and Silas, all they had was straw. Who, can you imagine lying on straw? that has been lying on the floor for so long. Any movement you made, you are covered with insects. There was no light. And everything was dark. It wasn't an easy thing, but because of the gospel. It was a dungeon. Some of the jails that we see today, I remember the one, I remember the one when this terrible guy that killed all these guys in Holland. I think some guy by the name of Breivik, I can't remember his name. You know, this mad guy that killed all those young people. I couldn't believe it. Somebody put a picture of the jail he was in the magazine. I think it was Time magazine. That cell had a 40-inch television in it. I said, this is jail? This is jail? 40-inch TV. On one side, then it had, you know, a desk, had a bed, you know, metal bed, you know, mattress, you know, but I said, how do you put a TV inside a jail? That one I don't understand. Because I'm Nigerian. Jail is for punishment. It's not for rehabilitation. Amen. So they put in jail. That will not be your portion, but if it happens, you accept it. Amen. It happened to Paul, it could happen to us. Amen. But look at what the effect of that preaching and teaching accomplished. Oh, give me the word, Lord. Give me the word. Acts 4:4. Hallelujah. Acts 4:4. How be it? Let's scream it out. How be it? Many of them which heard the word. Stop. Not all of them. Not everybody's going to be convinced by the word. Not everybody will be converted, but many will be. Amen. So don't look for everybody to be converted. Everybody has a free will. Many of them which heard the word did what? Believe. And the number, glory to God, and the number of the men. That was only men, oh. There must have been women and children there. But it just said men. Which means that there will be children and men, so we more than. But the number of the men was about, scream it out, folks. In one preaching. One preaching. And this is the glory of the former house. Glory to God, somebody. Now the apostles were bound. They were cast into prison. But the word of God cannot be bound. The word of God had gone forth. And it worked upon the hearts and lives of people, bringing forth the fruits of. And 5,000. Now this is revival. Let 5,000 people get born again in your ministry. You know that God is working with you. With signs following. And as I said, this is the glory of the former house. In the glory of this latter house, it will not be thousands. It will not even be hundreds of thousands. It's going to be millions. Hello, somebody. Oh, yes, sir. This thing we have entered into, as soon as Zion travels, and we are traveling by the grace of God, we will bring forth the children of God all over the face of the earth. You see, ours is to pray. It is God's will to God to direct who's going to get born again. Massive numbers will be born again. Massive. It will be unprecedented. That's why it's going to be revival. The revival by the glory of the latter house. The revival by the Spirit without measure. And we have the technology already available. Hello, somebody. That's what Paul was saying the other day. The first move of God was the printing press. The next move of God during the time, that was during the time I knew. The next move of God during the time of the healing revival, there was TV or something like that. The TV had come in shortly before then. Amen. This one is a move on the internet. Millions and billions are going to be reached in one preaching. It's already happening. Our church, by the grace of God, church on the air, never closes. The gates are always open. How? Through the internet. Oh yes, somebody at 2 a.m. here, maybe it's 9 a.m. somewhere else. We're here, this is 9:10 about. Somebody maybe in California is tuning in now in the morning. Somebody in Australia, it's already a new day. It's already a new, the night of today is already taking place there. Somebody's tuning in there. Any hour of the day or night, 24/7 worldwide. Open. The gates are open and they shall never be shut. So the gospel that we preach here, which God is preaching through us to the nations, goes forth to all the ends of the earth. We don't know who's listening. All we know is that by the time this revival hits, We're going to see a multitude, an army of God already prepared by the word. And they're just going to start coming out. They start coming out and we say, who are these? From whence came all these children? Who gave me all these? Seeing as I had lost the former. Hey! Hundreds of boys. For, I don't know if you're excited. You know, pastor said everybody's going to go. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to go. We are going to go and we're going to take the nations for God. Amen. Now I'm going to see this live. We'll see some of it on TV and internet. But me, I want to go there. To the very place. Uh-huh. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. That's an evangelist right there. As I'm saying, I want to go. He's saying, I want to go. I want to go there. He's saying it after me. You will go in Jesus' name. You didn't come to scripture part. Definitely not. You are not here to warm a pew. We have no Baba Jaws in this place. You have a permanent seat. Your seat is available to anybody that comes when you have gone. Amen. But you go and you will come back in safety. But we will go. Amen. By the massive outpouring of the Spirit, that measure, we're going to outgun out there. Evangelize, break the room, disciple the nations. We're going to do the groundwork through the internet, but there must be boots on the ground. And we'll be ready. Amen. And so we are the children, the heirs, joint heirs of Christ Jesus, of the covenant and of the seed of Abraham, because the covenant that God has given to Abraham so that we can be partakers of this wonderful, great privilege. Amen. Great privilege to bring the word of the Lord to the multitudes in the valley of decision. Amen. In that day was 5,000. In our own time, we've been 5 million, 500 million at once. What a glory. What a great thing God has set up for us. And this is what I believe God wants us to speak about today. Now, I don't have time. Oh, dear Lord. Okay, let me quickly go through this. So, the next day, there's always a next day, amen. Bible says, weeping may endure for a night. But joy comes in the morning. The next day, after the disciples had spent a night unjustly so in jail, a court of sorts. I call it a court of sorts because that court had Caleb. And you know, but as I was preparing the Lord's book, I said, there's going to be many seeming injustices we're going to have to suffer for the sake of preaching this gospel of the kingdom. And many afflictions we're going to have to endure. Like Paul. Paul endured afflictions. First Corinthians chapter 11, I think. He says, of the Jews I received 49 stripes. How do you say, he said, you know, that in fastings often, in perils of brethren, perils of water, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead, all these things he endured because of the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Spectacularly for him. But all of us are going to participate of this offering. Very, very important. Folks, let me just say right away, this walk is not for the squeamish. It's not for the John Marks. John Mark, Bible says, he went not to the work. Because in my head, this is right, there it is. In journeys often, Paul. In perils of waters, Paul. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. I was in peril throughout. He was a pioneer. Hello, pioneers. Say amen now. Don't worry. God is going to be more than gracious. The glory of the latter house. There's some things that the devil can no longer get away with that he did in the time of Paul. Because by the grace of God, you have better knowledge. Amen? You have better knowledge. You have been trained more excellently than Paul was. But as a pioneer, this is going to happen. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brethren. Paul's brethren still do. In fact, all these things are still around. They're perils of water. They're robbers. Your countrymen are still there. The hidden is there. The cities you go to are still there. The wilderness is there. The sea is there. But you will overcome. You will overcome. But this is important. Pastor taught this some time ago. That notice that God did not prevent these people, Peter and John, from going to jail. Could God have prevented it? Yes. But he chose not to. Why? Because he was going to be with them in it. I'm certain that in that jail, dark as it was, uncomfortable as it was, dank and dismal as it was, there were angels stationed by. Nothing would have happened to them. All they would have done was to suffer a little bit of discomfort overnight. Now, here's the point. God will allow Satan and his cohorts to come to bring affliction, persecution, and suffering against his people so that God can have a legal basis to eternally incarcerate Satan in the lake of fire. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Pastor told this some time ago. Your suffering is not in vain. It's a part of God's plan to put the devil to silence forever. But God doesn't do things without having a legal basis. So he needs you to endure suffering, to endure affliction, to endure persecution, so that he can have a legal avenue to put Satan away forever. And he's gathering the evidence now. Give me 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4. Hello, somebody. Help me, Lord. Give me KJV. Thank you. So that we ourselves, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Thessalonians, glory in you in the churches of God. Hello, are we here together? Don't be tired now. Let's start again. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your what? And what? Bible says through much tribulation. You enter the kingdom of God. But the Bible says, God, he says, in all your patience and tribulations that you endure. You have to endure persecutions and tribulations. Next verse. Which is a what? Manifest token. A manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Why? That you may be counted worthy for the kingdom of God for which you suffer. So, no suffering, no kingdom. Only a few people said amen. Oh, you thought kingdom was just on your son time. It's not going to happen that way because there's an opposition to the kingdom. So you got to and push and fight against that opposition. Sometimes you will win. Sometimes, fewer times, he will win. But you keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. That's what Paul says. I forget the things past, and I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You will suffer persecution and affliction. I'm not cursing you. Pastor Wigga is not speaking evil of you. It's a fact. Through much tribulation, we enter. So, before kingdom, pass through tribulation. But it's for a reason. See, God is very loving. He's not just allowing you to suffer for suffering's sake. There's a point. There's a reason. Amen. Give me verse 6. Next verse. Yes, next verse is important. Seeing it is a righteous thing. This is where I'm going. With God to do what? To them that trouble you. This is what God is about. So those people are bringing the trouble, bringing the tribulation. God says, bring it on. Every tribulation God will recompense. And do you know what the recompense is? Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Press down. The return is going to be 100-fold. Mark my words. That's why when you defeat Satan, so he will get tired. Say, this one, let me just leave him. Because whenever I go and come against him, the return from God to me is too much to bear. So let me just leave him alone. And find somebody who doesn't know his onions. Tribulation. God says God will recompense tribulation to them. Don't look at the human being. No. Look at Satan. Don't run away with this. This is not license to go and burn your enemies by Holy Ghost fire. Talking about demonic powers. Satan and his cohorts. Sometimes the cohorts are men. Alright? Give me Colossians 1:24 now. Quickly, we begin to close. Help the Lord. Are you getting something out of this? Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. What this tells us is that, give this in the Amplified. Yes, Amplified. Turn to the Amplified. Let's see what Paul is saying. Look what Apostle Paul is saying. Even now I rejoice in the midst of my sufferings on your behalf. And in my own person, and this is applicable to everybody who wants to be like Paul. Paul is a pattern. And in my own person, I am making up whatever is still lacking and remains to be completed on our part of Christ's afflictions, which means that every one of us saints in his body has a part to partake of in the afflictions that Christ went through. Every one of us. That's why the Bible says if you suffer with him, you'll also reign with him. If you don't suffer with him, you may not reign. Hello, somebody. Oh, but I got good news. I got good news. In all of our tribulation and affliction, God is with you and with me to save you and to deliver you. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I want to say like you believe. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Hallelujah, somebody. Maybe somebody needs this word today. You're in tribulation and affliction. Perhaps God is trying to get across to you. Let's read it together. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God, I love this phrase, of all comfort. Lord, hallelujah. This is the God we're dealing with. Hallelujah, somebody. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Hallelujah. The Lord will comfort you in tribulation. The Lord will comfort you in suffering. The Lord will grant you mercy to prevail in the name of Jesus. Next verse. Who does what? I love this. Who comforteth us in all our... Notice the comfort is in the tribulation. No tribulation, no comfort. Hello, somebody. Are we getting the picture? Who comforts us in all our tribulations so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hallelujah, somebody. So God is comforting you so that when others are going through a tribulation you have been through, you say, then don't worry, you're going to prevail. Don't worry, God is with you. He's a father of all comfort. He's a father of all mercies. He will show you mercy. He showed me mercy. And I'm here today, so you'll be there tomorrow too. Don't worry. The water will not over. Give me that scripture, Isaiah 40, 40. Isaiah, I wrote it somewhere, oh dear. Say Isaiah 40, 45? 43. Isaiah 43, 1. Oh, glory to God. I think somebody needs this today. I don't know about you. There's always tribulation. Because the devil is always shooting. But he will fail. Huh, this is it. But now says the Lord. Come on, guys. We're going to finish with this. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is working on your case. He will bring you out of every tribulation, anything you're going through, that is of the devil. Not that you caused by yourself, but you know, even if you cause it by yourself, God is still merciful. God will still comfort you. And he will give you a slap, but you will learn and you will forget. You will not do that again. So whether it's you that caused it or the devil that's caused it, God will still comfort you. Let's give the Lord a clap. Isn't God marvelous? Isn't he wonderful? He will allow you to be chastened. In fact, the Bible says that he chastens and rebukes and scourges every son he receives. How does he do it? He doesn't do it himself. He gets the devil to do it for him. But in all that, he's with you to bring forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hello. Look what it says. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You are mine. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. This is God laying claim to you and I. You are mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Next verse. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Not even that. The flame won't even touch you. How many of you remember the children of the four Hebrews? The three Hebrews. The Bible says that they didn't even smell of smoke. Hey! Oh, boy! The God same yesterday, today, and forever, thou art mine. Next verse. Somebody needs this today. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. He's giving you his credentials. thy Savior.
Look what he's done.
I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Next verse. Since thou wast precious in my sight, and thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Hallelujah! 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 The Bible says, he who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver. Glory to God. Fear not. God is in full, perfect control. Whatever tribulation, whatever the trial, whatever the affliction, God loves you. God loves you. Because of his promise, he will not fail you. Like I said, even if you're suffering for the mistakes you have made, God will allow that affliction, but he will bring you out. He will help you. He will help you to bear it, and you will be exercised by it, and you will overcome it. And you repent, because God says you are his. And he's faithful to bring it to wherever he wants to be. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. God is working. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. I don't know, maybe somebody needs this word here today. I don't know what you're going through, wherever it may be, whatever. God is working on it. And he will bring you out. He said the fire will even touch you. Ha! The water will not overflow you. He said it won't even kindle upon you. So you can endure it. Oh, glory to God. All that song in the cleft of the rock.
Touching.
Respond to the word that has come this morning and lift up a hand to the Lord in submission, another hand upon our hearts in faith, believing. And say, Father, I confess our sins and so claim of the blood in Jesus' name. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today that has come to me, reminding me that as I seek to preach the word and do all that you're commanding me to do, by the anointing that will come in this day of great glory, that there will be persecution and affliction that will arise because of the word that is in me and the word that goes through me. Yes, Satan and his cohorts will be allowed to come against me, for it is through much tribulation we will enter the kingdom. And even as I've heard your word today, I say that I will not be afraid. For I understand that you who are the God who have created me, that you that have formed me for your pleasure, you have called me by your name, and I am yours. So that when a persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake in my life and in my circumstances, as I pass through the waters, thank you because you will be there with me. Yes, Lord, as I go through rivers, they will not overflow me. When I walk through the fire of persecution and affliction, there shall nothing be kindled, that the fire will not kindle upon me, and I shall not be burned. For you are the Lord my God, the Holy One of Israel. You are my Savior. You gave Egypt for my ransom, and Ethiopia and Sheba for me. And because you have said I am precious in your sight, you love me. And therefore you give men for me, and people for my life. Yes, Lord, you grant me comfort and consolation in every tribulation. For you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You deliver us from great death, and you continue to deliver us. So, I say, Lord, I put my trust in you. Weeping may endure for a night, but surely joy, deliverance will come in the morning. I thank you for giving me this understanding. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Hide thee in the cleft of the rock, O God. Hey,